Hello, FPL managers. Welcome to a new episode of the FPL Optimized podcast. This is episode number 86. Certalp hosted two analytics experts in the pod last week, but today we are back with a regular episode. I am Bas, the casual manager, and my co-host is Certalp, the data scientist. This is the podcast in which we combine analytics with the good old eye test. Data or grass, or data and grass? That's the question. Game week 30 is in front of us, and what is more, the double fixtures for game week 34 have been announced, so this gives us a good idea of how all remaining game weeks will look like. We'll dive into all of it today, but before we do so, we can take a quick look at our scores from game week 29, even though we don't want to be reminded about it, especially me. I don't want to be reminded. But Certalp, we have to do it. So let's maybe just share the score at our head-to-head competition, and then we can move on to cover the more interesting and important stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, let's start. So I won the head-to-head competition this week. I finished with 21 points. Like, I can't believe that I finished with 21 points and still won. My OR now is 1.1k, which is pretty good. But I use my free hit, so like, yes, getting 21 points on a free hit is a little bit funny, but this is possible and it happened, and lots of people even got less points. That's how I got the green arrow. Yeah. But let's hear from you. You didn't use your free hit, but
I didn't. No, I didn't. And I took one hit, if I remember well. I brought in Reggie on. He got a red card, so that, I think that was a -3. And for the rest, the team didn't do much. We still remember the Spurs game. I think everybody was hoping or was counting on Spurs to win against Fulham, but actually they lost. Most of us captain Son, and also Son didn't do anything. So that kind of summarized the game week. 5 points, really bad. But okay, I still have my 3 chips, including the wild card. So that makes it still fun for the rest of the game weeks. And yeah, as the free hit didn't work out too much for everyone, you know, I kind of, the damage was limited, I would say.
So you have your free hit and bench boost as well as your wild card, right?
Yeah. And the wild card. Yeah, indeed. Okay. But indeed, I mean, the gap is now 3 points between us, 16 to 13. So I need to rush because there are not too many game weeks left, but it's still possible. It's still
maybe
possible.
You can use your wild card early.
Wild card early. Yeah, well, actually, we'll talk about it later, I guess, about the optimal plans. I haven't activated it yet, but let's see what you. Okay. Yeah, let's see what you will say about it later. Okay. No, I was actually thinking to keep it, but let's see. Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll get to it. But first, let's take a look at the fixture ticker. Who are the teams we should be betting on?
So, fixture ticker. So, we have Liverpool at the top of this list. So, they have a double in game week 34. And they have three game weeks of good fixtures starting this game week. It is Brighton, and their offense point average is 5.7. And in game week 31, they play against Sheffield, and their offense point average is 6.0. So, it's pretty good fixtures back-to-back. And in game week 34 with the double game week, the point average of offense players is 8.3. So, Liverpool is essentially a good team to target. And you can see like Salah in almost every optimal team. We will talk about it. And also sometimes Darwin. But also defensively, it is okay. I mean, Sheffield is a good game again in game week 31. And then, obviously, they have a double in game week 34. So it is not surprising to see Van Dijk in optimal teams.
Okay.
So, essentially, Liverpool is a good team to target.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
And in second rank, we have Manchester City. Well, they are always, you know, in top three anyway. But they have... this game week is a little bit tough. They are playing against Arsenal, but they have Aston Villa game in 31, which is favorable defensively. In game week 32 and 33, they play against Crystal Palace and then Luton Town.
Yeah.
Both defensively and offensively, good fixtures. So their only challenging fixture here is Brighton, you know, after the Arsenal game this week, obviously.
Okay.
But if you are kind of considering the free hit in 34, then Manchester City is one of the best teams to target.
Yeah,
because their fixture after that game week is Nottingham Forest, again, a favorable fixture. And
even Brighton, right? Even Brighton, attacking-wise, and even defensive, I would say. It's not a bad game either.
Not a bad game, yeah.
No. Okay.
In the third rank, we have Arsenal. They have a tough fixture this week against Manchester City, but then they play against Luton Town. Defensively, a good fixture. And then they have a double in 34. And then we have Newcastle. So the only favorable fixture here is Sheffield United game in game week 35. But remaining of the fixtures are like average. I mean, they are not the best, but they are certainly good if you have the right players. And it's not surprising to see Newcastle players. And then we have Chelsea. They don't have any favorable fixtures making to the top 10 percentile, but in average, they have good fixtures, more or less.
Yeah.
Everton comes sixth. They have a double in game week 34, Nottingham Forest and Liverpool that game week. And that might be a consideration, especially if you are going to go on a free hit. Bournemouth, they have a double again in game week 34. Remaining of the fixtures are a little bit tough. Well, average again. No unfavorable fixtures, but again, no favorable fixtures at the same time. Wolves have a double again, so they come next. In the ninth place, we have Tottenham. Tottenham has, one of the best fixtures this game week. They play against Luton Town, so their offense point average is 5.7. But they are blanking in game week 34. That's the reason why they are so low on this list. But again, depending on when you are free hitting, it is not surprising to see Son and Pedro Porro in the optimal team. I think I have seen him, those two, in almost every optimal team. And then we have Manchester United in the 10th place. So their only favorable fixture in this horizon is in game week 34 against Sheffield United. But again, game week 34 is such a like high point average game week that we have so many doubles. I'm not sure if you are gonna go for it, but it might be good to have a Manchester United player in general.
Yeah.
Any comment on this half of the list?
Well, not too much. I mean, we see the top three of the league. Also, we are in the top three of the fixture taker, so that's quite interesting. I think we all want to have a few of those players because, well, all three teams are still in the race to win the title. So I think we can expect them to keep performing. So, you know, it's good to bet on them. One thing is maybe what we don't see on this chart is that the weeks will get quite busy. Also with the teams that made it to the cup finals and also that are still in the Champions League, for example, like Man City. So you know, there could be some rotation. So that's something to keep in mind. But for the rest, I'm pretty sure we'll be loading up on the top three teams and then try to add some of the cheaper players from the other teams. And it's good to use this chart, you know, for the teams to bet on, like here, number four, Newcastle, number five, Chelsea. Interesting options there as well, that's for sure. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Let's look at the bottom teams.
Bottom team. So we have Luton Town topping this side of the chart. They're playing against Tottenham this week, and then they play against Arsenal. They also have a game against Manchester City in 33. So their point average is quite low.
Yeah.
Sheffield United is the second team here. They play against Liverpool in game week 31, Chelsea 32. And also like Newcastle 35, those are unfavorable fixtures.
Yeah.
And Burnley play against Chelsea this game week. So yeah, these top three, they all have relatively tough fixtures.
Sure.
And then we have West Ham in the fourth place, which is okay. A little bit surprising to me, at least. I mean, their games are not that bad, but they are also playing against like some of the good teams, like Tottenham, Liverpool in this horizon. Yeah. Then comes Crystal Palace. So actually, Crystal Palace have two difficult fixtures in this horizon. They play against Manchester City and Liverpool in game week 32 and 33. Which is interesting because then they double.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it might be favorable, especially for like people who are gonna free hit, or who might be wildcarding in game week 35, so that they can kind of like dead end their teams with Crystal Palace players. But yeah, I mean, if you are looking for a transfer in this horizon, so it might be best to delay it until game week 34. But I'm saying this, but they are playing against Nottingham Forest this game week. Point average is 3.8 for offense players and 2.9 for defense players. Not the highest, but again, something to consider.
Yeah.
Then comes Brighton. They also have a Manchester City in this horizon. Also Liverpool, but they are not in bottom 10 percentile. I think models think that, yes, these are tough fixtures, but it's not the worst. There are teams who are, you know, expected to perform worse than Brighton against these top teams. And then we have Nottingham Forest. They are playing against Crystal Palace. Their point averages look okay. 4.3 offensively and 3.8 defensively against them. But they have a Manchester City game at the end of the horizon. Then we have Fulham, Brentford, their fixtures are just average. And then we have Aston Villa at the bottom of this half. And they have both Manchester City game in 31 and Arsenal game in 33. So that's the reason why they are here.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah, I still have two Luton players in my team. So I think that's something I need to take a look at and probably need to need to move them out.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Do you also have the odds for the upcoming game week?
Yes, I do. This game week odds and the notes from RobT FPL on Twitter. So looking at this chart, the team with the highest goal expectation is Tottenham. It is 3.15 goals against Luton Town. And then comes Liverpool against Brighton with 2.65. And then Chelsea against Burnley with 2.55. If we look at clean sheet ratio, Chelsea is the best with 43% against Burnley. And then we have Tottenham with 37% against Luton Town. And then we have Liverpool against Brighton with 33%. We also have a few teams with 32% clean sheet probability. Fulham against Sheffield, Aston Villa against Wolves, and Manchester City against Arsenal, and also Nottingham Forest against Crystal Palace. A little bit surprising, but yeah, we have lots of teams with 32% clean sheet probability for some reason.
Okay. Good to see. Yeah, a few interesting games in the upcoming game week. We'll probably also see that in the captaincy chart later on, right? I think Liverpool, a good home game against Brighton. Tottenham, a good home game against Luton. Chelsea, a really good home game against Burnley. So, some really nice games. And then there's also, of course, a big game with City against Arsenal. So it's looking to be a nice weekend football-wise. A bit more interesting than the previous one where we just had four rather boring games.
True.
Okay, so yeah, we looked at the fixture ticker, we looked at the odds. Shall we look at the optimal team already, or did you have something else in mind?
Yeah, let's talk with the optimal team, but I will talk about the optimal wildcard team from a different perspective. Now that we have a limited time left, most people have their bench boost. Well, obviously lots of people have their wildcard. That's what we are talking about. And also some people have their free hit. And obviously, timing of these chips are important. So I try to compare, you know, how it looks for wildcard 30 alone, if you don't have any chips left. And also checked what happens if you have free hit 34, bench boost 37, okay, if you use them together, or if you reverse the order, because I have seen some people talking about bench boost 34 and free hit 37.
Right.
So the solver gives as an objective score of 663 for wildcard 30 alone, no chips.
Right.
And this is a line, this means a lineup points of 640. So I won't go into details of these numbers, but it is good to know these numbers in comparison. And I will only talk about the increments these chips bring. So if you have free hit 34 on top of wildcard 30, it only brings three more points in terms of lineup. So you're not getting anything too much by using free hit 34. But there's a big but here. The objective score goes up 13 more points. And objective score is what we use for decision making if this was an automated algorithm. And the reason why there is a like almost a 10 point jump between the two is if you're using your free hit 34, you are scheduling less transfers. But if you are not using free hit 34, then you need to, well, cover that game week so that you are kind of carrying some slightly suboptimal players for the remaining of the weeks. So that lineup point wise, the difference is not big, but you are scheduling lots of free transfers. Which means if one of your players gets rotated or injured, then you will be in a bad shape. So that's the main advantage of free hit 34 if you only have free hit. If you only have bench boost and you are planning to use it in 37, you get 15 more lineup points, which is pretty decent for bench boost. And in terms of objective, it is 14 more points, which is great. If you use both free hit and bench boost at the same time, you see a huge advantage. Like we said that free hit brings three more lineup points and bench boost bring 15 more points. But if you use them together, you get 24 more points, which is interesting. But using your free hit in 34 actually makes your game week 37 much better. I will talk about, you know, the exact numbers in a second, but objective score goes up 31 points, which is pretty decent. And if you do it other way around, if you use bench boost in 34 and free hit in 37, then your lineup points increase only 18 points. So you are losing 6 points by reversing the order of free hit and bench boost. So then the optimal, like if you have both chips, I would recommend using free hit in 34 and bench boost in 37. I understand some people are a little bit skeptical about 37 because of, you know, possible rotations or like some teams won't have anything to play for. I think that kind of thinking affects a little bit. But yeah, looking at the raw numbers, free hit 34 and bench boost 37 is ahead. And if you look at the details a little bit, I know this might be a little bit too small if you are watching on YouTube, and it might be scary, but I will summarize my point very quickly here. If you are just using your wildcard and not no chips at all, you can get 92 points like EV in game week 34. That's pretty good, like an average point of 92. If you are using your free hit, you can make it hundreds. So just you know, wildcard this week and then free hit in 34, you can increase 8 more. But at the same time, using free hit there increases your EV in other places too, because then you won't need to cover game week 34 so that you can have better selections. That's why the you know points are increasing a little bit. But if you use bench boost in 37, so wildcard 30 alone, you can actually plan for the game week 37 nicely and get 99 average points in EV. But with the bench boost, it is 118, which is great. But if you use both free hit 34 and bench boost 37, then you get 100 points in game week 34 with the free hit and 122 points in game week 37. So that's why like these chips work so well together. But if you do the other way, you get 116 points in game week 34 and 102 points in game week 37 with your free hit. So as you see, without the free hit, even like with using only your wild card in game week 30, you can get 99 points in 37. With the free hit, it's only 102. So that's why like free hit doesn't have a huge advantage. You can plan for it. But using your free hit in 34, yeah, making both like game week 37 better, and then also rest of the horizon. Right. So I promoted this so much, like I'm not selling anything, obviously. I use my free hit too. But if I had bots, and if you are wildcarding now, game week 34 and 37 is the game weeks to go in this order.
Yeah, no, that's clear. That's obvious. All right. Wow, great simulations. Really interesting to see all that data like this. But you're only talking about a wildcard 30, right? So did you do any work on that as well? Like, is that optimal? Or did you do any analysis on, let's say, wildcard 31 or maybe even wildcard 35?
So I checked it for my team. Game week 30, wildcarding in 35 is better for my team. And that's what I'm going to go for most probably, 35 or 36. Okay. Not a huge difference between the two for my team. I usually think that wildcarding that late is not good because like solver can schedule transfers so efficiently that wildcarding early has an advantage. Yeah. But there's only 2 point difference for my team between wildcarding in 35 and wildcarding now. Because I was obviously solving with an option of wildcarding maybe late a little bit, my team is good enough so that wildcarding now is actually making me lose 2 points compared to wildcarding in 35. So that's why I will wildcard a little bit late. That might not be the case for people who has two Luton Town players in their teams, obviously. So it all depends on your team. But game week 30 or 31, good game weeks to wildcard, obviously. 35, 36, if you have already a good team. You just need to use a solver or at least ask your local analytics FC person to learn, what's the optimal chipset strategy for you.
Okay. All right. I'll try
so
to
are
find
you, them. Are you considering to wildcard then?
Not really, because I do have the two Luton players, but for the rest I think the team is still in quite decent shape. I'm looking at the team for this game week. I'm quite happy with it. I brought in Salah already, so I think that was a player I really wanted to have for the Brighton game. And of course, it can always be better, but the thing this week is of course the City against Arsenal game, so you don't really want to load up on too many players there. So maybe game week 31, therefore, I would prefer. But the thing with game week 31 is that the deadline is on Tuesday, right? So it's quite a short time to think about your wild card. And the other thing is also, if we do indeed bench boost in 37, it's still quite some time between 31 and 37, right? There's still a lot of things that can happen there with injuries, suspensions, whatever. So I'm more like, as long as I'm still quite happy with my team, I don't feel the need to, or let's say I feel like I can wait with my wild card. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't make a fixed plan. I think I'm pretty fixed indeed on free hit 34 and bench boost 37. And I still need to see when I'll wildcard. Yeah,
I should say that, we have two heuristics here, right? We often say that wildcarding next to or close to your bench boost is a smart idea. It usually maximizes points.
Yeah.
And at the same time, obviously, wildcarding a little bit early is what I prefer, because then you can kind of optimize your transfers if you're into that.
That's true.
So, those two objectives are conflicting this time, because bench boost 37 is better. If we were bench boosting in an earlier time, maybe wildcarding early could have been better.
Yeah.
But that's essentially why game week 35 or 36 is better to wildcard if you can wait than you can actually maximize your bench boost 37 points quite a bit. Yeah.
No, indeed. No, that's my point. But yeah, you're right. You know, if you wildcard in 35, then yeah, the season ends in 38, right? So there's not so much time left. So that's of course the argument against wildcarding late. You're not really benefiting from it too much. But as long as your team is still in quite good shape, then you know maybe you can survive without wildcarding. So it's very much team dependent, as always.
Yep.
Okay. I think you had another chart on this.
Yeah, just quickly, I want to mention this, like between these different chip strategies, like I'm not going to talk about all the wildcard teams, just the wildcard 30 quickly. It is Raya and Petrovic as goalkeepers. We have Gabriel, Mykolenko, Van Dijk, Pedro Porre, and Udogi for defense. Okay. Salah, Palmer, Garnacho, Son, and Sarabia in midfield. And Solanke, Darwin and Haaland in forward. So here there's a distinction between Raya and Ederson. Like I see Petrovic and Raya in almost every team, but Ederson and Petrovic appears if you're free hitting in 34 and bench boosting in 37 because City has a relatively bad game week 34. City has a relatively bad game week 34 compared to others. So Ederson makes sense for the rest of the horizon if you can free hit that game week. And among these players, I think 7 of them appears in every optimal team. So if you are wildcarding, these are the players you should definitely consider. These are Gabriel, Pedro Porro, Salah, Palmer, Son, Solanke, and Haaland. So they appear in every team, every chip combination. Okay. So Garnacho appears in most except bench boost 34 and free hit 37. And also depending on your whether you are free hitting or not, in game week 34, some teams has Darwin and some teams have Isaac. So that's probably a consideration.
Yeah, the other thing, I'm still just now looking at my team and I still have Watkins. They play, Villa plays against Wolves. That's game week 30, a home game for Villa against Wolves. So I'm still quite happy actually to keep Watkins for this game. That's also why I'm you know, I'm happy to wait with my wild card. Like if I wild card, it's not this week, but maybe next week, 31. But then again, as I mentioned earlier, deadline is on Tuesday. So that's something everyone needs to keep in mind as well. There's limited time to work on it. Okay, cool. Good points. Mm-hmm. And if I look at those players that you mentioned, Gabriel, Pedro Porro, Salah, Palmer, Son, I already have in my team. So it's just Solanke, Haaland that I'm missing. And Haaland, indeed, it's... challenge again for everyone. We've covered that before. Like if we want all the big hitters in our teams for the next game weeks, that will also be a puzzle, right? We want Son, we want Salah, we want Haaland, we probably want Saka as well. Luckily Palmer is quite cheap. That helps this season. It'll probably be different next season. but that will be the interesting thing about the puzzle, to see how many of these big players you can fit in.
Yeah, I need to mention that I use my own team value for these, and indeed, it might not be affordable for everyone.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Anything else on optimal teams?
No, not.
Okay. Nothing perfect. Else. Thanks a lot. So then, I think the next one to look at is the captaincy options.
Captaincy is interesting. Actually, you also talked about it a little bit, but
I expected that. Yeah.
Salah is at the top in the ensemble, so it's the average of all the models with 7.66 points. And the second one is Son, as you expected. It is 7.58. So very close, 0.08 points in between. So it's essentially a toss up at this point.
Yeah.
So in terms of models, Drafthound, FBI Review Premium, and Mikael Togwam's transfer algorithm favors Son as a top option, at least right now. And Fantasy Football Fix, Fantasy Football Scout, and FPL team favors Salah. And only model with a different captain as optimal is Fantasy Football Hub, putting Haaland in the first place, which is interesting. Okay. But talking about the top options, Haaland is third with 6.32. And then we have Madison with 6.01 because, you know, Spurs has such a good fixture that, you know, it's not surprising to see two Spurs players here. And then we have Watkins against Wolves with 5.8.
Yeah.
So who are you captaining?
Currently, I'm captaining Son because indeed I like the home game against Luton. Spurs, you know, they lost their previous game quite badly against Fulham. So I hope, or I think, they will be motivated to bounce back. So I have it on Son, but indeed I'm thinking about Salah as well. Very good home game for Liverpool against Brighton. And I also like Palmer at home against Burnley. So three good options, difficult to choose from, but I'll likely keep it on Son, I think. And you?
I think I will captain Son. Well, I usually follow FPL reviews model, and I also use Mikael Togwam time to time, and both of them are favoring Son at the time. So, yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Okay, so we covered a lot, and we're quite ready, I would say, now to approach game week 30.
Yeah.
So that concludes our usual content. But earlier this week, FPL also announced a new game called FPL Challenges, I should say, because there will be a new challenge each week. So Sertal, did you get excited about it, and did you do any simulation for it already?
So yeah, it's an interesting game. To be honest, I'm really excited to play it. I understand that not many people are so excited about it. Some people think, you know, FPL is already killing me slowly. Like, why do I need to play another game? Especially, you know, coming from official FPL. So the exciting part for me is that every week there will be a different rule. Like this week it's unlimited budget.
Right.
Which is not too exciting, to be honest. I think it could have been better if it was more restricted budget, like, I don't know, like 90 million or 80 million budget. That that would be a challenge, in my opinion. Unlimited is not a challenge, it's just relaxation. But anyway, so there will be like double points or like things of that nature. Yeah. I think there is more stuff are coming up we don't know details about. So for someone who's developing an optimization solver for this game, it's quite exciting. I need to change everything slightly every week now.
Okay. So that's are you going to you're going to play it then?
I will play it. I will play it.
Okay.
So I should say this though, like if you are using a solver or if you're kind of into analytics, you might be thinking of playing this game. This is different than playing like a free hit, because in this game it is a very top heavy. If you're using your free hit, you're always aiming for the average game, right? So that's why we are just maximizing our expected value. In this game, you can't do it. I mean, you can do it, but it's probably not a smart idea. Because only top three gets a reward, and currently I think there's more than 250,000 people signed up for it. Okay. So you're essentially trying to be, you know, top three in among, probably it will be around 300 or 350k by deadline, or maybe like a little bit more. So to win it, you need to, well, risk it. You need to risk it for the biscuit, as the saying goes.
Okay.
Meaning that you need to probably get multiple defense from the same team, hoping that they will keep a clean sheet and you will get a massive haul. And the reason for this is obvious. You're increasing your variance so that instead of trusting, like hoping that, you know, all of your defenders will get a clean sheet, you can bet on one team only.
Yeah.
And then if they keep a clean sheet, you get a huge advantage over everyone else.
Yeah.
Same with your midfielders and forwards. Most important thing is to not pick players from opposing teams, unlike in FPL. In FPL, it doesn't matter much. We are going for the average case. In Fantasy Challenge, you are going for that, you know, top three.
Extreme case.
Extreme, ending, extreme outcome.
Yeah.
So one thing that I'm a little bit wondering myself, if the bonus point distribution is going to impact some of the things. Because, like, if you think about it, there's only three bonus points you can get from, a single team or if they're opposition. So it might be actually better to diversify a little bit in terms of, like, trying to get those bonus points. But at the same time, they're not big enough so that you need to risk it.
No.
So that's why I think I haven't run it yet, but I'm working on a solver. And I was also talking with Fantasy Football Trout on this.
And
he is also using this idea of how can I increase my variance so that I can win this thing. And one way of increasing variance is going for the players who's not owned heavily, because you will be betting against people who are picking the same player. So if you see a player almost everywhere, I mean, that's a reason to not choose that player, funnily enough. So effective ownership will be important. Well, I don't expect people to share their teams, but if you are sharing your team on Twitter, you're essentially giving away some advantage to your rivals, kind of. Well, obviously, one person sharing their team doesn't impact anything, but if lots of people share, you know, you can try to see, you know, what's a player who doesn't appear in these teams and still have a good EV is the way to think about the game. I also asked Trout if he can share a team. Well, he said, first of all, this game doesn't help. You know, if you are sharing your team with others, you're kind of like risking it, because obviously you want other players to pick other teams, other players. So this is the team he came up with. So this is a little bit closer to the template, as he put in words. One thing I need to mention is the auto sub thing. Have you heard about it?
Not too much. I saw people mentioning it, but I haven't really followed it too much. No.
So FPL made a mistake. So they have auto sub logic in place, but at the same time, you can change players until they start playing more games. So it's not a single deadline like in FPL. You can still keep making transfers. But if you do even a single transfer, auto sub won't work. So auto sub only works if you don't touch your team in terms of transfers.
Okay.
So then the logic is this. Why don't we put some of the good players we have in our teams to bench and put three players who won't play in this game week? So if these players do pretty well, then you don't need to do anything. Autosub will put them in to your team. And if they do bad, then you can replace those three dead assets in your team with another
three because players. They're on the bench.
Exactly. So because once they play, you cannot move them. But if you don't touch your team again, it will be auto sub, right? So this is an exploit. I feel like FPL didn't realize this at the moment, or maybe they were not too worried about it. But yeah, it creates a condition or like this situation where you need to bench your good players who are playing early, I should say. And
I think, was there also something mentioned that you can own more than three players from the same team?
You're right. Five players is the limit here.
Five players. Yeah.
So then this team has Carson in the goal, but it's essentially going to be Dubravka, I think, once the auto sub kicks in. We have Chilwell and Disasi from Chelsea. So I think in an optimal team, you would expect to see more players from the same team. So I actually, well, if I'm just doing this manually, I would add even more Chelsea players if I'm going to bet in their clean sheet. But we have Pedro Porro, and then Matip, who is red flagged, and then Richarlison in midfield, who is also captain. Another dead asset in midfield, and then we have Madison and Palmer, Darwin in forward, and O'Mahony from Brighton in the forward. So you see we have like three dead assets here.
Yeah,
two Liverpool and one Brighton. Richarlison captain is also interesting because we talked about it, but Son has the highest EV. But again, if you include the risk aspect of it, you can hope for a Son blank. And then, you know, what's the next best player to captain in this case? Then you're checking both EV and also ownership. And then I think Richarlison appears there. There's lots of different ways to go about this game. So essentially, again, you're aiming for a high point. I also have a simulated scenario page in fbloptimized.com.
Okay.
If you want to play with it. It shows the distribution of your team. So if you pick players from the same team, like same like defense, like defense and goalkeeper, maybe like you can even get a goalkeeper and four defenders from the same team, right? Because five is the max. Then you will see that, you know, those extremes will go like even further, because like if you keep a clean sheet, you will get lots of points. If you don't, then obviously your gaming score will be bad, but it won't matter anyway, because like there's no reward for finishing average. So I would recommend people to keep playing with it and try to come up with teams with high correlation, high variance, or I should say low correlation, high variance. We also have a channel now in our analytics Discord talking about this game. So if people are interested in hearing what Analytics FC is thinking about the, you know, challenge game, they can find more information.
Cool.
Are you not considering to play?
Not really, to be honest. For me, the regular game, it's
too much.
You know, well, not too much, but it's enough for me. You know, I'm enjoying the game. I'm engaged. I guess they also do these challenges for the managers that are less engaged, just to add something interesting every week. Personally, I don't have that problem. I'm still engaged and I'm still enjoying it. And for me, I think I'm spending enough time on FPL. I'm not really looking for any, you know, new options to spend even more time on it. So, and listening to you talk and about all these things, you know, taking injured players and having a bench and making changes during the weekend, I'm already getting quite nervous and getting quite tired from it. So I'll leave it to you and your analytics friends.
Okay.
And I would say have fun with it. And hopefully you will win one of the challenges. Let's see.
Yeah. Maybe I will get a signed jersey. Yeah. And talking about jerseys, why don't you talk about your jersey, sir?
Oh, yeah. Well, today it's Newcastle. I was looking at the shirts that I still have in the back, the ones that I got from our listener, Koen Visser. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was fitting for today for Newcastle, because we saw it also from the fixture ticker. They are number four in the fixture ticker. And I think, they're a team to consider. So they have some good fixtures. They also have a double in 37, very likely, but not announced yet. So, Newcastle it is today. Yeah.
Okay.
But before we close, we should still cover our mini league.
Oh, yeah.
And the top five all suffered from the free hit 29 nightmare, I would say. We see the points ranging from 15 to 21. So, you know, no huge scores. Ross M kept the lead with his team, Return of the Mac. He's now on 1,943 points, and he's number seven in the world. So that's pretty amazing. Number two is Cedric L, who is 4 points behind the lead. So it's pretty close. And then there is a gap of 15 points to the number three, and that's Richard Smith. And for those of us who are not in the top five and also not even close to it, Game Week 30 is an exciting week because it's the start of our Mini League Cup. And Sertab, Sertab, you haven't been lucky with the draw because you're up against the number three of the league, Richard.
Really? Smith. Oh my
yes,
god!
Yes, you are. So, do you have any strategy in place already to try and beat him?
Well, I usually don't give my FPL decisions based on the cup games, but I will definitely check his team and then try to see if my transfer this game week is actually giving me an advantage. If not, I'm going to pretend that I don't care about the cup. If it gives, then I will pretend I do.
Yeah. And then the thing, of course, also is that you don't know if he's wildcarding or not. You can't see that.
Yeah, that's true.
In my case, I'll play against Walter Wright with his team Back That Pass Up. His rank is around 500k, so it's higher than mine. But at the same time, I think I can have a chance against him. So let's see, Walter, if you're listening, good luck. But I think I'll win, but let's see. then before we end it, anything else you wanted to add, Sertab?
No, nothing from my side.
Okay, cool. That was it then for today. This was the FPL Optimized Podcast, episode number 86. Thanks for listening and good luck with making your game week 30 decisions and with setting your team up for the final stretch of the season. And mind you, we still have 9 game weeks to go, which is 24% of the season. So it's actually quite a lot, I think. Yeah, it feels like we're almost at the end of the season, but 24% is actually still quite some games to be played and still some points to be won. We'll certainly be back with another episode next week. Probably it will be after the game week 31 deadline, as the deadline is on Tuesday. But let's see. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you'll get notified when the next episode is published. And if you enjoy our content, you can make us happy by leaving a positive review. You can also follow us on X for Sertab. It's at Sertab Bilal. For me, it's at BelfieBB. And we also have a separate account now for our podcast, which is at FPL Optimized. And on top, you can also find us on YouTube.
And until next time, stay curious and stay analytical. Goodbye.
Goodbye.